have tried it, and all it looks like is a comedian doing like, like before you go on to a movie or whatever, you need to go to like the trial or whatever, and you just read like off a script in front of like four people who are
word. Yo, funny, you know? Funny that that you say that. Where y'all? I started recording, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah, Boom Boom Show episode 29. Wait, 29. Yeah, we got Pierce Randall in the building. This is one of my friends that I made at camp back in middle school, and we have stayed in touch since. It's good to have you here, man.
It's good to be here. It's been a long
time. But before we're gonna get in what we're gonna talk about, I really want to talk about farming and stuff, and like your perspective on it, and mine as well, because I hold farming in very, very high regards, in terms of people on the totem pole. That I'm like, thank you, like that's a real ass essential service, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah, there's no 9-to-5 on it, you know. It's a lifestyle, and there's no on off switch, and lots of craziness everywhere in the world today. But
man, yeah, dog,
had its fair share thrown at it.
you were talking about like drive-in comedy shows earlier, right?
Yeah,
I went to one a couple weeks ago, and it was kind of like that. It was this comedian Chris DiStefano. He's dude, you know who he is?
Chrissy D. Not too familiar.
Yo, check out his podcast, History Hyenas. It's fucking hilarious. I'll plug that. But yeah, I went to the show. I'm a big fan. I'm like, fuck it. Like, I'll go to a driving show. Like, I'm just chilling in my car. The car
is he a local guy?
No, he's from New York. He's from Queens.
Yeah.
Or someone. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the radio was tuned or whatever. The first guy bombed. The first guy bombed so bad. I felt really bad for him, and he was like a local dude, because it was kind of awkward, like not really getting much audience reaction. But
you don't get the interaction with the crowd. You don't get to like hear when the joke hits, and like the audience needs to feed into that. It's a give and a take, and there are some states that are starting to open up and doing like the socially distanced shows. I know like Texas is doing some of that, but there's a lot of comedians even down there that they're saying it's just not the same, because it's like half capacity, a third capacity, and how the hell do you try to control that?
Yeah,
with ticket sales, but it's tough. And I don't know if he's from Queens, New York City, like that's gonna be one of like the last spots to open up. The state's been good in some ways, depending on what side of the aisle you're on. But Jesus, they are like buttoning down, and I think it's going to get worse going into the fall.
Yeah, because like, oh, we'll be outside, not as much UV light. It's not the outside that like kills the disease. It's the sunlight that does, and that's why a lot of people are. How you feel about Halloween this year?
I don't think it's going to happen, man. I think you're going to have people like leave candy outside, maybe. I don't think that the COVID can really live on a surface for a long time. So maybe they can go that route. But in terms of like getting people together, I don't think it's going to be any different than what we've had the last 6 months.
I'm at such a crossroads, because I'm like, all right, Halloween, you do wear a mask. So
yeah, and that's true. I guess if you get people wearing masks,
I had my old background from last episode. I forgot to change it, so I had to change it to stuffed baked potatoes. You know,
love it,
because you're like last I remembered, or last I saw via the internet, you was potato farming.
Yeah, that probably came from northern Maine, probably in a rustic county
spot. Yeah, dog. I peeped that. I was like, oh, dude, some New England potatoes. Hell yeah.
Yeah. Maine's a big player in that game. Presque Isle, Caribou, like the county. It's a rustic county. It's like, I think square miles wise,
it's huge.
It's like one of the largest counties
is so big. 48. I wonder how many Rhode Islands you could fit inside of Maine.
You could probably fit two or three Rhode Islands in the
county. No, you could fit two, probably a dozen, at least probably a dozen. A dozen Rhode Islands in Maine. Oh, you said Maine? You said a county. You said like the county you was in. Oh, my bad. Oh, yeah.
No, and the Maine's huge, and there's very like low population. Like there's, I don't know, maybe in the whole county, which like we said, is probably, you know, in a lot of places.
What county? You said Rooster? Rhode Island.
What's that?
Did you say it was called Rooster County?
A Roostick.
Okay.
Yeah, let me see.
Oh, yo, while you're doing that, I know already. So one of the things I do, like this podcast has a theme song, and it's a fire theme song. It's crazy. So I gotta make sure that like the vibes are right, you know, before you know, I give the people
what theme song will do that. All
right, so let's get it. Boom boom show. Pierce Randall in the motherfucking building. Big potatoes on deck. Let's go. What you sipping on, bro?
Farmer drinks, man. Bush Light.
What you know about farmer drinks right here, son? We got that Mountain Dew. Fuck yeah, man. Boom boom show. Boom boom show. Yo, so I got what was you looking up?
I found Aroostook County. It's the largest county east of the Mississippi.
Whoa.
They call it the county. It's the largest east of the Mississippi, and it's larger by area than the three smallest U.S. states.
That's wild.
And there's 72,000 people that live there in a county bigger than, I'm going to imagine, Rhode Island.
That's less than the entire city of Providence.
Yeah, probably Rhode Island, Delaware, and Maryland maybe would be my three. Aroostook is way up there. Yeah. Look at that.
Word. I'd be out in Maine, you know. That's where my girlfriend's from. That's where she lives.
Dude, Maine's a cool spot, man.
I love Maine.
It's that's like a state that... Like, its identity is like its own country in a lot of ways.
I saw this thing. It was called...
They've got their own accent.
Do they?
Oh, yeah. Oh, the Northern Maine accent. Oh, what, yeah.
The Canadian?
So you get into pockets of Maine that have...
Yeah, there's... It's Canadian just...
influence, dude. It's got its own dialect in a few different areas of Maine.
Hmm.
It's a wild place. You've got like Portland, which is like a big like manufacturing town, right? You've got like the shipyards down there. You've got way up north in Aroostook County, like we're talking about. It's like one of the heavier farmed areas in the Northeast. You've got the waterfront and the seafood.
Maine is a state, man. So untapped. It gets so cold. It gets so cold.
And it's people harsh, don't give it credit how big harsh state wind. It is. Yeah, it's from my house, and I'm over by like Albany, New York. It's like 10 hours to get up there. You go to Boston and then shoot north for like 7 hours. It's pretty far north, like north of Ontario.
What was it, Back Bay? Back Bay is way up. Back Bay is way up there. Yo, your face smiled. Have you gone black out there before or something?
What's that?
When I said Back Bay, you just had a smile. I'm like, have you gotten black out there before?
No. You talking Back Bay like Boston?
Is it Back Bay? What is it? What's that?
I don't know.
Way up in Maine. Way northern ass Maine. It's not Back Bay. What the fuck is it called?
You've got like Bangor.
I don't know. I'm an idiot. Don't worry about me.
I travel so much, I can't keep up with it.
Dude, don't worry. My listeners know I'm an idiot, so.
Yeah. No. Trust me. People rattle off cities and towns and cities that they partied at. And I don't know, or two, like, you know, fuzzy memories there. But I can't keep up. Too much time on the road.
So I got a question. I remember back in the day, you and I had aspirations to be in the Marines. Clearly, I that didn't happen to me, and you don't know why. I didn't make it in the military. Would you like to hear, my friend?
Yeah.
So the most of podcast listeners know, but I got arrested dead ass the year after you met me. I was in like seventh grade when I met you.
Yeah.
And then I got arrested for on paper. It's B&E.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, it'll happen.
Yeah.
yeah, man, it was just like my middle school was unlocked. And it was like summer and we set off the silent alarm and they're like, pistols ablazing, guns are drawn, bro.
Right.
Yeah. And so that went on my juvenile record and they were like, yeah, you can't do, couldn't do National Guard, couldn't do Army, couldn't do Marines. So I was like, all right, man, like regardless, I was going to go to college, but, I was like, how am I going to pay for this shit?
Yeah.
So the way I'm paying for it is I'm paying for it.
Right. Yeah. It's crazy, man. You make, you know, one mistake like that and either the shit, it's amazing. Like you can look back in time and find these like pivotal moments.
Mm-hmm.
Little tiny thing has such a huge impact, you know, changes the whole direction.
Yeah, I was glad it happened.
Better sometimes or worse, right? I mean,
I wouldn't say I was glad it happened, but like I'm glad I'm not in the military, and I'm the first male in my family, like ever, to just live a full like civilian life.
Just
chill. As long as like the draft doesn't happen, which in my it's looking like we're leading towards war times. I'm fearing it.
Some days it feels like it.
It feels like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. But yeah, dog, freaking, so you never went in the military, right?
No. I didn't. I was like way into it growing up. I did the whole, like JROTC thing, a program they called like Sea Cadets, which was like ROTC. Yeah. Every weekend.
Oh yeah. Freaking. I did Young Camp. Marines and shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Same thing as Young Marines.
Yep.
And no, I was dead set on it. And then I had a really influential wrestling coach that Pierce, I'm not going to let you. I'm going to make you go to school. And if you still want to go in after, you can go in and they'll still pay you back for your college. So, like, don't think you need to go military for the GI Bill. Like, go off to school first. Like, be a young man. Like, you know, be a kid.
Live life. Instead of, because like you really from the ages like 18 to like even still like I'm 25 I still feel like I have some innocence, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Like, and to get thrown into combat at 19, imagine that.
It's unreal. It's a, like you said, it's one of those like pivotal moments, right? Like you make that decision, you sign your name, you go off to boot camp, and like it's going to change who you are as a person. And I think there's a lot of good, you know, that people get after going in the military. For me, my wrestling coach was, you know, you're going to school and then you can, if you still want to go in after, go
he's
in.
Like, you, he's like, yo, you're wrestling me if you go in the military. Please, yeah, coach, no, he, coach, no tap, tap, I tap,
you,
coach.
He was a bad motherfucker, man. He was like, and he was dude, like he was starting to get older. I'd say older, dude. He beat the shit out of me.
Yeah, I remember like our team saw each other at like a tournament once a year.
Oh,
some shit. No, I don't remember.
Polanski, man. Aaron Polanski, he's a madman. And even like Jesus, in the times, he was probably like mid to late 30s and he beat the shit out of us. Like,
yeah,
like 16, 17, 18 year old dudes, like thought we were on it, like in shape. This, you know. Dude,
and you got a real ass man showing you what the fuck is good. Yeah.
Oh yeah. And his line was always like, y'all ought to be able to beat the shit out of me right now. Like I'm running on fumes. Like this is shit left over in the tank from college, you know, 15 years ago.
Yeah, dog. Dude, my high school wrestling coach, like he wasn't good at wrestling. He was just like strong. And like we were just fucking just scrappy. We were just like, let's fucking do, like, cause at the end of the day, it's like, yo, I'm just like fighting someone in spandex.
Yeah, dude, I'll tell, wrestling's a cult sport, man. Like, you live it. like it changes. One, it's one of those things, right? Like you sign your name on the line, you sign up for a team, you survive a couple practices, get your first match underneath you. And like that changes, you know, who you are as a person. Like, it's a different mentality. It's adult sport for a reason. And he was good. And he was ripped for what he was, but he was kind of a short, stockier dude. And he was definitely,
those are the best wrestlers, man.
Yeah. And I was a technician. I mean, I wasn't going to win any, you know, competitions off of my strength. I had to you know, use leverage and use speed and torque and stuff like that to try to get guys where I wanted them. But I wrestled an interesting weight, man. And you were a lighter weight, right?
Oh yeah. 112. Yeah, bud. Senior year, I was 120.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So you get like the smaller guys that are like way fast, right? And that's like just like fast. You roll around. It's whoever kind of ends up on top out of luck half times.
Scrappies, bro.
Yeah. Scrappy.
Spider monkeys.
It's like watching two little fucking
For real. It's so fun. It's so funny when like the like two like savage 103s are going off and like everyone on the bench is like, just like, it's like a cockfight, bro.
Yeah, it is.
It's a Tijuana cockfight.
Yeah. And then you compare that to like the heavyweight thing, which,
spinal score is 2-1. A takedown and a stand up.
Yeah, dude, we used to joke, and I'm sorry for whatever like heavyweight followers you have. It was like,
whatever.
That kid fell down first.
Max will get like 20 views right now. They're like, we're chilling. We're chilling, dog.
It literally, though, was like whatever fat kid falls down first, right? Like, was going to lose.
Oh, yeah. The bigger they are, the harder they fall.
And once they go down, there's no getting up unless they survive, you know, like a period.
Bro, did you ever see this kid back in the day, Brandon Battles?
Yeah, dude.
I bet you I can find him on Google. He was a legend.
So I'm still I follow him. I'm, you know, I don't talk to him often, but I still see him on Facebook. He settled down.
He's a MMA.
Yeah, he did MMA. He went to UConn, recruited for football. So this dude was like a freak.
This picture is about to bring you back. I found a picture of him in high school.
This dude was freaking
the coolest. He was that guy. Oh, he was in the Boston Herald?
Yeah, the Battles tattoo.
Where the fuck is he? Oh, yeah, I need to move us. Oh, yeah, he had Battles tattooed on his back. Everyone was like a fat, chubby dude at heavyweight. And then there was this guy, this guy, just a straight brute, man. And what is this?
There he is.
Wait, this is him at semi-pro football? Oh, no, college football.
He played UConn.
Oh, yeah, he went to UConn?
Dude, as good as he was on the wrestling mat, and the dude was a stud, he got recruited for a full
– just him as
– like a full ride. He had a football scholarship. Went off to school for a little bit, got out of that, focused on an MMA career.
Oh, yeah, shit.
Yeah, he's a monster. But he was a rarity, right? Like, there weren't many heavyweights that looked like him.
No.
He had a couple. Like, Vic Avery, you remember him?
It sounds familiar. What school?
Vic Avery was a little bit older than Brandon was, and Vic was a monster.
That might have been before my time, because I think it was, like, my sophomore, junior year. Because you graduated 2012, right?
Yeah,
I graduated 2013.
Okay, so yeah, it would have been. I think he graduated when I was like a freshman. He was like
that. What school? Because what's so cool about wrestling is it's like people's names that like is what you remember and shit, and you just be hearing about motherfuckers.
Well, because like no matter how good or bad your program's from, like you're still an independent athlete to an extent. And like,
he wrestled at Edinburgh in college. Yeah, bro. No, I heard like. My homies and I was like, that name sounds because I wrestled in college at Rick, Rhode Island College, D3.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, for three.
Yeah,
for
they had a decent program, right?
Yeah, we was all right. It was just our coach was a turd bag. I got kicked off the team because I told him to not take his insecurities out on me and the team. And he was like, insecure, you want to see insecure? And just runs at me and like tries to beat me up, and like my coach is like just like held him back. Like he was like at the time late 40, like mid late 40s.
Shorter
than me. Like he weighed more and stuff, but when we would wrestle, I'd beat him because he was hurt.
he was brittle. Wrestling, man, that was a cult sport. I really enjoyed that.
Enough about wrestling, bro. I'll be talking about wrestling on the show. That's so funny how this shit came back. Dude, do you remember high school he was at? I'm just so curious about this Vic Avery dude.
Oh, was he? Foxborough?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm like, dude, I'm pretty sure he was oh, yeah. That's him at Foxborough. Oh, shit. Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah. Because I had some friends that went to Foxborough, and they would talk about Vic Avery. I'm like,
yeah.
No, why
he was a stud.
Ring a bell.
He was a stud. And him and Brendan used to wrestle. I think it was like my freshman year, maybe, or sophomore year. I think Battles wrestled him at like the state championship match and lost, maybe.
Probably.
And I think Avery got hurt going into New England's, and Brendan placed like third in New England. Or maybe second. But you see a lot of the same names, and all those guys seem to be doing pretty good.
Dog, I was heated. One more thing about wrestling. I was heated like my senior year, because I like my name wasn't on Mass Wrestling. Like I played dog dead ass, man. I placed eighth at all states, and because like my record or whatever, like they at the end of the day, they're like, all right, the final results, and like it was bullshit, and like the kid who got first wasn't ranked first at the end. I'm like, bro, it should be the final results. SMDH.
I wonder where some of those dudes that I wrestled against are. Like Avery and Battles, I still see every once in a while. But there were a couple of guys that, like, all 4 years, we went, like, head to toe, man, back and forth, and a lot of different tournaments, dual meet, sectionals. And it's funny, like, you do the runaround with them. You'd win one time, they'd beat you the next. And
oh, yeah, bro. And, like, you'd be like, yo, like, I hate you. And then, like, by the end and shit, like you go through like, you know, 3 years like wrestling the same dude, and you're like, what's up, bro? We gonna duke it out. And, or like he stays in a lower weight class, and like
you're pissed because he won't bump up, or vice versa.
Or you're like, oh, thank God, dude. Or like, yo, you're a pussy. Of course you're gonna fucking stay at of course you're gonna stay at a 103, you little bitch.
Come on, be a man.
That was some freak shit. Like a 18-year-old, like who's supposed to be like 140 pounds, like just eating hard candy, to be 103 pounds. I'm like, your parents don't care about you, or they just want you to be a winner.
That's crazy lifestyle.
Yeah. And
no, you couldn't eat that stuffed baked potato behind you when you were on that diet.
Dude, Rick's wrestling this year, I guess. Like last I seen, like they were like having practice and stuff. I'm like, how you can like dude, they're wrestling and shit. Dude, right, like it's just like it's easy like for me to like, you know, readjust, and this is just on a grand scheme, not just wrestling, and like in terms of you know, live events, you know, the capacity of things. I'm just adjusting right now. I'm just like figuring out that, like, right now the way I'm looking at like my digital content, it's an online farm, and it's like, like this is a seed right now. Like we're planting a seed, and one day this farm will grow, and like there will be many trees for people to, you know, get their fix upon with whatever, and enjoy, view that tree, you know, get a piece of fruit. and such. But yeah, dog, I really do want to talk about farming and get into this and how
you really
got involved into it, and yeah, and all that, ask questions as we go. So let's start off with that. How'd you get into it, man?
Sure. So I grew up on a small family farm in Southern Mass, down near New Bedford. Mattapoise was the town.
You're bringing so much shit back. Now I remember, I was like, oh shit, this kid was from Mattapoisett. And there was like the teenage disco back in the day.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Bro, my family got a house in Mattapoisett, and like me and my cousin was walking. We was like, what? What the fuck is this?
Yeah, they had in the summer, they had these wharf dances. Like
what?
Like a pier almost. Like,
oh, okay.
Water.
Yeah.
It like cone off a pier.
That shit was lit.
Have a DJ set up. Like everyone had to pay like a $5 cover and like, you know, make sure you weren't like screwed up. And these were young kids. These were like seventh.
Yeah,
kids.
This was
like ninth grade, maybe.
Young.
Seventh and eighth.
Young ass kids. I was like 12 when I went.
Yeah, yeah. So that would have been the age, like 10 to 13, maybe.
Yeah. It was the teenage disco, man.
Yeah. Dude, it was nuts. They did some pretty cool shit down there. That was an interesting town. I grew on a small family farm down there, which
that's dope.
They're
ocean. Yeah, it's an ocean town.
What's that?
It's an ocean town, right?
Yeah, yeah, it's a waterfront town. We were the only farms left.
Yeah.
Been in the for a long, long time. But
nice, dude.
When I was in school growing up, until I went to high school, I was like the only farm kid. And then for high school, I went to Bristol County Agricultural High School, which that's cool. That's over in Dighton. And that's like a vocational technical high school that all of the different majors focus around some aspect of agriculture. Mm. So instead of like auto, like, you know, a lot of guys, I did like auto.
Dolly, you already know. I went to a tech school, man. Keefe Tech.
Yeah. Yeah. So you know what it's like. All of our majors were like, instead of auto, we had ag mechanics and diesel technology. That's what I did. And then like, we didn't have culinary, which we probably should have as an ag school, cause that's the aspect of it. But we had like large animal science and small animal science. We had arboriculture, which is like all tree, like plant science, and floriculture, which is like a lot of greenhouse management. We had natural resources, which was like an environmental, program. We had landscaping, and then I was ag mechanics.
Oh yeah, you were just destined for farm greatness, man.
Yeah, so that was the thing, man. So in high school, we had this like competition. It was like a pissing match between all of us with like who came from the biggest farm, because we were finally all around other farm kids. A lot of us came from high schools that came from middle schools where we were like the only farm kids there. Mm-hmm. And a thing that we kind of made a point to be proud of. And then we got thrown into an ag high school. And next thing you know, like the piston contest was like, well, who came from the biggest farm and who's the best mechanic and, you know, who's got the biggest pickup truck and shit.
Yeah. That's destined.
Yeah. And I'm a really competitive person. I said, well, if I'm going to be the biggest farm kid, you know, of all this group, it's not going to happen if I stay in Mass. So I went to college and studied agricultural equipment technology.
What school?
Led me to a job out west in Kansas. And
oh, shit.
Then I studied ag business and got into the industry. And yeah, now I'm like 5.5 years with my company and living the ag thing day to day. You
like,
look back at a lot of those guys.
You work for a company or you have your own business?
No, so I work for a company. I work for Great Plains Ag,
word,
a farm implement manufacturer. We were actually acquired by Kubota Tractor Company about 4.5 years ago now. Prior to that, we were family owned, about 1,500 employees. So we're too big to be a small business, but we're in the scheme of things when you look at a lot of other.
Yeah. Yo, what is it? What is that thing called?
Yeah. Yeah. Right. So that's a grain drill.
Grain drill. What does it do?
Yeah, so that meter,
I see that thing all the time.
Plants small grains, so like wheat, oats, alfalfas, barleys, all different grasses and stuff like that. So that's kind of a core piece of our business. That's like what the iPhone is to Apple is what the grain drill is to Grace.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Yo, so your company makes those?
Yeah, we make them.
That's lit.
A territory manager. So I work with the dealers across the Northeast, being New York and New England, just helping them, you know, support the product, develop customer relationships, understand the product so they know how to sell it, you know, to the farmers that are, you know, ultimately our partner through this. So I work with 21 dealerships that sell that equipment. So the best way to explain it is,
So if anyone is listening to this right now and needs a grain drill, are you the guy that they should contact?
I'm the guy, man. Reach out.
If any listeners of the Boom Boom Show are interested in getting a nice piece of farm equipment, make sure you contact my guy Pierce. His Instagram will be in the link below. So just shoot him a DM. That's what we do. That's what this podcast is for, really, man.
I love it, man.
To, you know, help, you know, my people and stuff. Someone's gonna check this out that doesn't know you and stuff. Yeah. And that,
dude, that's what it's for. It's all a network, man. We're all, you know, in it together, just trying to find people willing to help each other out. And
Once again, dog, sorry I keep cutting you off. I have a tendency to do that. I appreciate you, you know, taking the time to chat with me and shit. Because I'm sure you got to wake up early. What time you wake up? 5 a.m.?
Oh, man, it's all over. You know, my job's pretty seasonal. There's some days when I'm up 5-6 in the morning, getting on the road and traveling. And, like, right now we're kind of rained out. Like, there's not much going on in the field. So things kind of slow down. So, you know, my office day starts at 8 o'clock.
Yeah. So would you say there's like been a big increase like in like manufacturing for like with farm equipment during like the pandemic and stuff?
Sure. So the manufacturing thing throughout this COVID has been like a challenge. And
yeah. Oh yeah.
Farm equipment or any type of product, right? Like plants, manufacturing plants typically have a lot of people right on top of each other. So there's a lot of places that like shut down right off the bat. Like we're not having people come.
Yeah. I forgot. Like I remember hearing places about all these plants and shit shutting down. Yeah. Not Amazon, bro. I remember we was in there with Matt with the mask off, bro, 200 yeah. deep.
and people, you know, there's mixed emotion. Cause So my company's based in central Kansas, and there's like, we've got several manufacturing facilities, and like people were really pretty pissed off when we opened the plants up, because we're in agriculture, we were considered like an essential service. So we've been running throughout this whole thing, and that pissed a lot of people off.
It's like, yo, y'all got to eat.
Yeah.
And like we got
to
eat
to raise a crop and, you know, support what they're doing. You know, at the very least, we need to be able to make parts so that if the stuff in the field breaks, those guys can keep going. So you had like half of the people that we were open and had people coming into work. And then you had the other half of the people that like they just wanted to work because they didn't want to sit at home. Like they wanted to work and earn a paycheck. So what we're doing, a bunch of our facilities stayed open throughout this. We had a few of them that did shut down, and the facilities we shut down. If you were working in one of those and you wanted to work, we would find you a position in one of the other facilities that was still up and running. And we try to do the whole socially distanced thing, but that's hard to do. And we're doing it. The plants are open, but you can imagine a plant that's at half capacity from what it normally is. It's not going to be able to turn out the amount of product that, you know, a plant fully staffed would be. I mean, you saw it at Amazon. Right. I mean, imagine if your shift was cut in half.
Yeah, so, bro. They didn't like change shit. It was just like, all right, throw the like, once it was like the CDC was like, you know, throw the cloth on your face. Like, it was like, all right, you know, we good. And it's just like, shit. Like, when you can't socially distance, throw the fucking cloth on your face, man. Fingers crossed. Like, It is what it is, man. And that's kind of what it's always been. Like, you never know when you're going to catch a cold. Like, you fucking put your hand on a fucking dirty seat and then scratch your face and, you know, you got fucking bronchitis and shit.
I mean, people are dirty fucking animals, right? Yeah,
we are. We're animals.
We are. We touch our face all day long, fucking shake hands. We touch product and move it. Like, it's crazy difficult. I mean, we in ag, even before the pandemic thing broke out, like,
yeah,
like safety practices, because we're dealing with food. I mean, you've got food safety measurements in restaurants. We're the same thing on the farm. So most of the time, like when I go to visit dairies, if I'm going to walk into the milking parlor, I typically need to step into like a little pool of disinfectant, you know, to not bring anything on and off these farms, because, you know, animal contamination is that's a real
concern. Yeah. Dairy farmer, I've heard, sorry to cut you off. So the town I live in Upton, yeah. Mass, and like we were interested in, you know, getting some pigs, but you can't have pigs in this town. And I heard like one of the reasons, you know, because cross contamination, because I heard you can't get a disease directly from a chicken, like, unless obviously, like, you know, fucking salmonella some shit, but but you can get a disease from chicken to pig to you, or pig to chicken to you.
Okay.
I just wonder like if you know anything about that, just random fact.
So I don't know a ton about that. Right. I mean, there's, I'm not a,
yeah, you're in agriculture. You're not in,
yeah,
in livestock.
And I'm bad with the whole biology, you know, side of things. Typically when you have, you know, some type of, you know, disease that's spreading, it can typically only jump from, you know, species within, I think, like an animal family, right? So like you've got certain species that kill, you know, that very contagious to dogs maybe, but we're not a dog, so we don't need to
worry. You ever seen this before? This disease that, it's this fungus that, like,
it's like a host.
Yeah, it's this parasite that goes into like a bug's brain, and it's like takes it over. So it's just like, hey man, every animal has diseases, and thank goodness, you know, that it's just goo in your lungs and not you know, a brain eating mushroom.
Right. So, yeah, you could be that thing.
Yeah.
And it's weird to me that there are towns that limit, right, like what you can and can't own in terms of like
odor, waste, you know, carbon emissions,
right? And you know, the carbon emission is one thing if you're like farming intensive, right, you need to manage it. But if someone wants to have five chickens in the backyard,
chickens,
that's them driving to the gas store and back to pick up a carton of eggs is going to be more carbon emission than having a couple of chickens in the backyard. But, you know, you're right. There is concerns over, you know, the neighbors, and they get out. And
anti-rooster towns.
Property.
The towns like no roosters.
Yeah. There's the whole zoning.
No cocks allowed.
Yeah. No cocks. We got a bunch of cock blocks.
Yeah. Dude, I have, I think I have about 8 cocks. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. So there's another farm next door, horse farm. Was it Stone Arbor Farm, Little Folk Farm? I forget. I don't even know what the fuck my own neighbor's farm next door is called. But anyway, So they don't kill their animals, and they'll get a rooster, and they'll be like, My dad's name is Bert. They're like, hey Bert, take this. We're like, all right, we'll take it. And we're like, all right, you know, we'll have a chicken killing day. And so we probably had about 5 roosters from them. And then we were given quote unquote sexed chicks, right?
Yeah.
And we were wondering why our rooster, because one of the roosters they gave us, it was this it is, you know, this speckled, striped, like white and black. a beautiful bird. So we're like, all right, he's gonna like you're the one. And we put him in there. He's being so aggressive to the birds and shit. Just like
just
fucking them up. And dude,
animals are nasty, and we're animals.
Dog, I'm telling you, the story's got a twist. So
not a rooster.
It turns out we had fucking 5 roosters in our our batch of chicks. Cause one of he broke one of the we didn't know at the time, the rooster's neck. Like there's this rooster like in the corner where the eggs are, you know. Is this bird laying an egg? He's just all like, for like, I'm like, is that what he looks like when he's just laying an egg? And
yeah,
like, shit, man, I guess we gotta, you know, take this guy out of his misery. And we're just we're looking at a few of these roosters. My pop's like, hey, hens don't have spurs like that, dude. Like a big one. We're like, oh shit, there's fucking, including the one we just killed, there's 5 roosters. No wonder why he was getting so aggressive, dude. So that's why we have 8 roosters. And next week will be chicken sacrificing day.
Oh boy. Well, I wish you luck, man. Chickens are tough. I had chickens growing up. I've got some of my really good buddies are like big, like large scale, like industrial producers. And man, so one of the big things with chickens right now is like the whole cage free movement.
Please do tell me.
Right, like you go to the store, you go to get eggs, and cage free.
Oh, free range, free range.
Yeah, free range, all this shit.
And and the civilian, because I can really see both sides, because we've only been farming now for 3 years. So like I can really see the civilian side and shit. So free range chicken, I'm imagining a chicken in a grassy field frolicking around and all that. Right. But as you were gonna say,
right?
What is the standards for a free range chicken?
Yeah, so you've got caged, you know, chickens, which they keep them, you know, kind of almost individual chickens. That you'll have a couple dozen
in the cage,
but like you try to isolate them and people freak out because of the animal welfare aspect of it. And they think that an animal in a cage is not going to be able to move as much. They want natural access to sunlight and all this. So, you know, the demand, the consumer has said they wanted cage-free products. Well, producers, you know, right, we used to all have cage-free eggs 200 years ago because that's how animals were. The problem is when you get into having, you know, a couple dozen, even 8 chickens, like you have.
They want to fuck each other up.
Yeah, you get 8 birds.
They're dinosaurs.
Yeah, dude, they are. Their brain is the size of a pencil eraser.
Got,
you know, spurs that are 1 inch to 2 inches long. Those things were bred to fight more than they were to think. Chickens in a free range environment, a cage free chicken. You get these people that at the surface are in it for animal welfare. They think that animal's going to live better.
Boy, no, we're keeping it safe.
Yeah. What you find are these chickens that beat the shit out of each other. And then they spread disease amongst each other because they're all injured from.
Yeah.
And the quality of life for that bird is awful. And it takes a lot of room to have cage free. You get lower production because you're not able to feed them like a specialized diet because it's just you got all these birds running around to an extent. And the more dominant bird beats out the less competitive bird for, you know, access to food.
Yeah. So,
you know, the smaller bird doesn't even get, you know, food or water and it's getting beat to shit all day. Well, that thing makes it a couple months and dies.
Yeah, so it's a lot stinkier.
Yeah.
It's a lot stinkier.
That's the thing with ag is you have a lot of people over the years that have come in and tried to put in these rules and regulations and specialty programs that maybe it's not a requirement, but if you do it a certain way, you get paid a premium, like a cage-free type thing. But man, when you really like sit down and think about the quality of life for that animal or the what's best for, you know, production and best to the final cost of the consumer, not only in cost, but in health and safety.
Yeah.
you know, growers are in business to provide a safe and healthy product to a consumer as efficiently as possible. And that might mean, you know, a cage type laying situation. With the case of, you know, pork, it might be furrowing crates, which is another like highly contested thing in ag. Essentially, you're going to put a pregnant female pig, a sow, into this crate, and then the really make it so it can't move very much. And then you have these piglets that.
But it makes it tasty. But does it make the pig tasty?
Good fat content, man. It's like,
does it make my pig tasty?
But you know, the reason why you put the sow into a furrowing crate is because like sows go crazy and kill all their piglets and
try. Oh yeah. Yeah.
So what's really best? Do you want to have a sow that's in a crate to protect the piglets? So we have a successful, you know, dozen piglets to grow.
Yeah, it's like, dude, they're not humans.
No,
like they're animals. Like there's a reason why, like if you're being a pussy ass bitch, someone calls you a chicken. Cause no matter what, if that chicken is in a cage, in a open ass field, or in a coop, you know, like that. Yeah. That's what I have and shit. Fisher cats and coyotes, yeah, you know, we couldn't have them, and the dog eating the chicken poop and getting sick. Oh, yeah. So we couldn't have. So even if it's running around the yard, a free bird, it's still scared 24/7. A chicken's always like,
right.
Yeah.
And it's a very simple like dominance thing, right? Like they're all scared to death because a chicken's like one of like, other than an insect, like about as low as you can get in the food chain, right? Like everything kills chickens.
Yeah, they're domesticated.
And even within chickens, like it's a simple, like the rooster is the boss and, you know, the chickens themselves lay the eggs or whatnot, but there's still like a natural order of who's in charge and who's not. And that's challenged every day. I mean, you have two.
That's why the pecking roosters. Order is used in our society
it's
a term.
It's a pecking order and it's challenged every day. So you've got cage type laying situations. You've got furrowing crates with pigs. You know, with cows, you've got the whole free range cow, pasture range cow versus one that's more in a confined type feeding operation. And really all those things we do that at the surface looks like we're trying to, you know, abuse an animal or you know, make it so it can't move. It's because we're ultimately trying to protect it because animals, when put in, you know, groups together, even when given what we would imagine to be ample space, they're going to fight over resources. You know, you can have two cows on 100 acres. The two cows are going to hang out all the time. And if they're going to fight over something, they're going to fight over something.
Something very similar. Yeah. Sounds eerily similar. Yeah, reminds me of the Gaza Strip.
Yeah, almost like people. We've got, you know, this whole world to run around in and do whatever we want. And we don't want to live in the same area. Then we fight over the resources. And that happens country to country. It happens, you know, within the same city. You know, it's a crazy thing.
True that, brother, man. But off of a livestock, that was really informational, bro. You changed my perspective a lot on this stuff, and I hope it did as well for some other people, because you know, it seems like, you know, people like wanting, like, you know, another thing like grass fed and stuff. Yeah. Grass fed beef, like it's just a cow eating hay. Like, right. It's like there's great that a grazing, like grazing is when it's just eaten right out the fucking dirt, right. And stuff. It's just marketing. It's all marketing.
A lot
to
of
the
buzzwords.
Yeah, to the new American, like yeah. Dead ass, bro. Like what from what like you're telling me with like your like upbringing and stuff and. You know, your career, your roots are very tied to the like original, like agrarian society that
yeah.
we, and this whole fucking country once was, and right. shit. And
it's interesting for me because I grew up on a small family farm where we had a couple chickens, we had a couple cows, you know, like small come and go. We'd kill one, we'd get another one.
Yeah.
Very small, like you said, kind of the original like agrarian type production.
Yeah, man. Growing distance shit.
Farming.
Trying to take as less stops to the store as possible.
Right. The whole, you know, we're going to be self-sufficient. And COVID has brought a lot of that back into the main market because people, you know, all of a sudden the grocery store is out of stuff. People get scared and want to have their own. So I grew up in that type of farm. Then I went to school in upstate New York. And across the Northeast, there's a lot of medium-sized farmers, you know, maybe 1,000 acres, a couple hundred acres, maybe a couple thousand acres.
Yeah.
So that's where I saw like the medium size farm that was still very much only, you know, family owned and operated, but enough that the farm was going to produce enough revenue to support maybe mom and dad and one or two kids on the farm.
Yeah.
So my background was we all had off farm jobs and then we had a job almost to afford the farm because the farm is like not profitable. It was an expense. A lifestyle.
Yeah, same here. Tradition. Same here with ours. Like we got a small. And then
you have the medium sized farm where they're paying the bills. They're making enough to keep the family.
Yeah, provided. Business.
Yeah, it's a business, but it's not a big business. They don't have.
Yeah, it's
they're still just trying
still
to cash.
Still middle class and stuff like right. You know like my farm next door like not my farm my neighbors next door like that's their job. Right. You know,
it's their job. They're,
you know, they got employees.
Have 100 people working for them, but it's their job. It's a business.
Yeah.
And then after college, and even when I was in college during the summers, I went out to the Midwest and traveled all over the place and worked for a lot of very, very large farms. Some of these were, you know, conglomerates where you had private owners that owned the assets and the property. And then it was managed by a third party person who had the employees. And, you know, you're talking in that point, thousands and thousands of acres and dairies with tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of cows, you know, grain operations that were 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 acre, 100,000 acre farms. So it's interesting kind of going from like the very, like the small family kind of homesteader to the other end of the spectrum that's like the largest truly run like a business and then kind of you have everywhere in the middle so I'm fortunate I think when I meet with growers it's nice to bring in that diversity of experience because a lot of people you know they get comfortable with what they have and big grain farmers only hang out with big grain farmers and it's like small, like homesteaders only hang out with homesteaders. I've been fortunate to kind of float around the world of ag
and see a lot of
those guys and
the different like subgenres, like in
it is
like in music. You know what I mean?
It's exactly it. But at the end of the day, like the goal is the same. Just
work
like,
together.
Right, we're all in it together. We all have the same challenges, right? Like it's just at a different scale. You know, just like with music, you've got different genres, but everyone's still an artist. Everyone's trying to make art and write a song that people can connect with. Ag is the same thing, right? Whether you're feeding one cow in your backyard or you're going to a feedlot with 50,000 black Angus out back that, you know, you feed every day, your goal is provide that animal a safe and healthy environment to grow so that you can have a healthy and safe product to bring to consumers, which might be, you know, in the case of a homesteader, might be a half a steer that you sell as part of a co-op, you know, to three or four families that are going to buy half a steer, and then it gets processed and they split all the meat up equally. Or the other end of the spectrum, a big, you know, commercial grower, finished feeder operation that's shipping, you know, 10, 20 truckloads of cattle a day to a processor to go to the commercial, you know, beef operations that, you know, like the Cargills, the ABSs of the world, that are then going to be selling that commercial beef on an open market to the, you know, companies like McDonald's and Burger King's and the Walmarts of the world that are, you know, truly commercial type operation. At the end of the day, the grower is there to provide a healthy product to the consumer at an affordable price. Because if you can do that, that's how you make it to the next day.
Yeah, no, I feel you. Like our goal here is like just step by step, just trying to be like as self-sufficient as possible. You know, like we last year and this year, dude, we tried to do corn, and that failed. Corn's hard, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, bro. So you need like an acre, like at least a half acre, huh?
Yeah.
Corn.
A lot of people in this country, whether it's just like the everyday consumer or like a politician, like God forbid, Lord knows, lots of them.
Everyone's a politician now, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Everyone's a politician and a journalist and a podcaster and a journal, you know. Right. Everyone,
yeah,
and a rapper, bro.
yeah, and a stand-up comedian, or you know,
I've done stand-up, bro. Dog, I was doing right. Stand-up, and then the pandemic happened. Dead yeah. ass, bro.
Well, you ought to have plenty of good content after this,
bro. I haven't like written shit. Like I've written like a few things here and there.
Yeah, but
I'm just like whatever. I'm working on. Like we'll veer off farming for a second, but I'm working on, I have this premise right now, and it's about how how do I phrase this properly, because it is grotesque and offensive. Women will never have equal rights because it's not fair how all they get is a penis, a finger, and a tongue. And we get the mouth, the pussy, and the butthole.
You ought to have plenty of good content.
Dude, it's just...
You got to be able to laugh at yourself, man. I mean, that's the...
Yeah, yeah.
Turn on the news definitely. Every day and you'll drive yourself nuts.
Oh, dude, well, see, here's the thing. I live with my dad, right? And, you know, morning, I have our breakfast and our smoke, and we'll watch the news for a little bit. Yeah. And I'm just like, Jesus, I'll just fucking pull out my phone and start going on TikTok.
Yeah. You know, it's too bad. There's a lot of people that almost call it entitlement, whatever it is, they feel like they're oppressed, and they will look
for
evidence to prove how oppressed they are. Until they truly convince themselves that they're oppressed.
You talking about when white people do that shit?
I think it can be any group, male, female, any race, religion. You know, I had one of my favorite quotes is the man that tells himself that he can, and the man that tells himself that he can't. Oh no, I said that wrong. Whether a man tells himself he can or he tells himself he can't, he's right. And when you think about it, you tell yourself you're going to get it done. You're going to find a way to get it done. You tell yourself that there's no way this is possible and it's not going to be possible. And I think there is a lot of legitimate, genuine issues in this country that need to be addressed. I feel like there's a lot of people that take that and use it to their advantage, both as the oppressor and as the victim, to become more of a victim than they really are, or as an oppressor to be more of an oppressor than really anyone needs or should want to be. Whatever truth you want to find, if you look hard enough, you'll find. And that's the challenge. And Jesus, every time you turn the news on, you find people that they want to be in the news either as the oppressor or the oppressed, right? We won or we lost. There's no one that gets on the news and says, well, we had a pretty good day. It was like so-so. It's either this is the best day ever, the stock market was great, we're winning this.
Oh, yeah, every day, new high for coronavirus. Well, obviously, right.
Or on the other end, it's, oh, my God, this is the worst day ever. The stock market crashed. COVID's going on. Unemployment's high. Like, you know, consumer debt is at an all-time. You can find whatever evidence you want to find if you look hard enough. And a lot of these news agencies have enough people on staff researching shit that they'll find whatever they want. So I do feel like we have an issue with, you know, the media and how this stuff's presented.
Yeah, because it's
so consolidated, man. We get all our news from three or four sources.
Yeah, these
media, they're all in it to gain something.
Yeah, to gain money. It's a, you know, to do whatever it takes to keep you drawn on it for the longest. Because just think about it, like, you know, like when you're on the, you know, but before this shit, when you would watch the news, they'd have, you know, all right, yo, the war in Iraq, you know, there was a murder. Here's the weather. And here's, you know, this puppy that just got adopted. We'll be back. Oh, all right. I'm going to change the channel now. Like, I got my fix. Like, we're going to keep showing y'all bad shit to keep y'all tuned. Yeah. You know, it keeps
here's
it keeps
some bad shit engaged. And after the break we'll get back with some more bad shit.
I'm just like
first shit we showed you
me I well it's just me, like I my perception of the world is like I don't get me wrong, I see like really fucked up shit and there's some stuff that breaks my heart and makes me want to cry, but I'll see some fucked up shit and I'll just like find the humor in it. And yeah. I'm just watching the news fucking laughing.
Over time, we get numb to things. And I mean, that's why the news changes the story every day, because even though half that stuff's still an issue, it doesn't have the, you know, the response that it did when it first broke, when the story first broke. You know, so it's tough. But I don't know. I feel like we are in a bad spot in terms of like things are at an all-time high. But at the same time, you go back to when it was...
That's what they want us to think.
Right. And you go back to when it was Romney versus Obama, right?
Yeah, they wanted you to think that
running for president. Every election cycle, the story is, this is the most important election of our lifetime. They're saying it about this election cycle. They said it about the last one. They said it about the one before that. And they're going to say it about the next one.
Well, it's a very profitable year. Like
it is.
Capitalism and democracy aren't the same thing, you know?
Yeah.
And
well, I'm a free market guy. I studied business and econ and went through that thing, and you know, the fault of an efficient market, right? Like economics speak is a free market is when you have an educated producer and an educated consumer that make a rational decision. That's like textbook definition.
Yeah. We're human. I'm like, oh, that's a great theory.
Yeah, the problem is we're human and we're not rational. We're like the least rational animal in the planet because we tell ourselves things completely beyond what reality is.
Yeah, it's like you want an uneducated consumer. Like,
well, that's what we've turned in. And it's not so much an educated versus an uneducated consumer. It's a consumer that's educated in the things that I want them to be educated in.
Yeah.
That's what's going to push them to my side. It's not so much that I truly make a better product. It's that the consumer only knows about the thing that makes my product better. They don't know about the thing that makes it worse in some situation. If all I do is educate them on how much better my product is, then they're going to choose me. Well, the competitor's doing the same thing. So now it comes down to who's better at educating. And they're not really teaching the truth. They're teaching their side of the truth to an extent. And that's all of a sudden going to be the winner, right? You can have two products that are almost identical. If one company is really good at marketing and the other company's not, traditionally, the one that's better at marketing is going to be the one that's going to get the sale. A truly educated consumer, an unbiased, educated, rational consumer, if the products are identical, they're just going to buy whatever one's cheaper because it has more utility is what they call it. But that's the problem with politics. That's the problem with a lot of things in this country is we don't have a true educated consumer, educated, you know, cohort, right? The people amongst us, they're not viewing the news as an unbiased source anymore and hearing the whole story.
Or they're not viewing the the news at all and just like going off a article headline, because people were like, fuck the news, and went to social media. And, right. you know, then the news got into social media because they're like, oh, shit, this is where, right. you know.
Well, and all of a sudden, social media got into the news.
Yeah, yeah. Social media social media is the news now. And
right.
like it, so like you were saying before we started the pod, like you listen to Rogan and like they say like 80% of the tweets out there are like are made by like 3%. Bots. Well, no, 3%. Oh yeah. Of like the users on Twitter. Right. And it's like 1 out of 12 people are on Twitter or something. Like do you have Twitter?
I do.
Do you use it?
I do a little bit.
Okay.
If I can find it, I definitely have it.
I'm active on everything. On trust me, like early November, I'm not gonna be on social media that much. I was talking to my pops today. I was like, because we were listening to NPR, and we were talking about the election. I was like, hey. On November 3rd, I don't know about you, but I don't plan on watching the election results. Yeah. He's like, yeah, neither do I. We'll figure that out in the morning.
Yeah. So I am definitely on Twitter. My handle is my first name, my last name. That's Pierce Randall AG. Ag. I got real creative there.
Word.
I always kind of laughed and said, you know, for a guy in agriculture, it works. Someday if I ever want to run for like attorney general, I already have the handle
figured out. I'm doing a podcast. Yeah, hey. I'll be up soon. My dad's calling me for food, so we're gonna have to end this in a bit.
Oh, gonna have to wrap
it up. But we don't have to wrap it up.
I
had dinner
early before I came up here, man. Just to get to the ag thing. For dinner tonight, it was fucking awesome.
Well, yeah, what'd you have for dinner?
I had fresh duck. That I literally shot yesterday.
You
mallard duck. Got two of them with a couple buddies. Two drakes and a hen. That's the other resurgence. Maybe I'll come back later on. We can talk about like the hunting, fishing.
I would love to. I love to. I forgot to tell you. Also, we have 4 ducks as well. Ooh. Yeah. So
I like duck. I had Canada goose. For the first time in a long time this year.
How was it?
I loved it. Some people are really opinionated, man.
Yeah, I've heard mixed reviews. How do you like? What did you describe it as? I'm very curious about goose.
So it can be it's red meat, right? So yeah. Goose, they think it's going to be like a big chicken or like a turkey, so like brown or white meat. It's a red meat. It looks like a steak. And I loved it. It can be a little tough, can be a little gamey. It's kind of oily a little bit. So it depends on how you cook it. I like brining it.
Is it kind of like chicken elk?
Yeah.
I was like,
it's the steak of the sky, you could call it.
The steak of the sky, huh?
Yeah. I like brining it. So like you take the breast of the bird and you just put it in like a Ziploc baggie with some salt water and you let it sit for like maybe overnight, 12, 24 hours. That takes some of the blood out of it. The salt starts to tenderize the meat a little bit, makes it a little more tender, a little bit less gamey, less kind of wildlifey. So for the person that doesn't eat a lot of wild game, it's a little bit more like they're probably accustomed to.
If that's your first time having wild game, you're in for a surprise.
Oh no! I grew up on wild game.
I was saying goose.
Oh yeah. Oh, just the tip of the iceberg, man. I mean, the wild game thing. Like, well, ag is definitely a topic that we can talk about for hours and hours.
Hunting,
fishing, wild game thing.
That's just what you like to do for fun. Like, ag's just that's your career. And
they're both in the same, man.
Oh yeah, you really love what you do, man. That like. It's awesome. I'm jealous. I'm unemployed right now. Like, this is what I want to do, essentially. But
it's going to happen, man. You got to step. You got to, as my college, I'm kind of a K-State guy, Kansas State. We've got Coach Kleiman.
Oh, that's where he went. Shout out, Paul.
For Kansas State Wildcats. Go Cats.
Oh, wait.
Wildcats.
Is that? Oh, no. I don't think that's where he went. I was thinking the fucking, oh yeah. I was thinking you're gonna get mad at me. Isn't that Kansas U, the one with the bird?
Oh yeah, University of Kansas, KU. We stomped the shit out of them this weekend. We blew them out.
Yeah.
5-17.
Holy shit.
Game.
Congratulations. Yeah,
we blew them out. Coach Klieman, like when he came to K-State last year, his biggest thing was like, beat the stone. Every day you beat the stone.
Beat the fucking stone.
Dude, it takes time. I've been with my company for 5.5 years. I was in college for 4 years before that, studying ag equipment and ag business. I went to an ag high school for 4 years before that and, you know, worked full time.
The chosen one.
The school. Like, this is 10 years of me, like, very dedicated in a very niche thing. And I'm just lucky I found the thing I'm passionate about, and there's been opportunity here.
I'm blessed that you're one of us, man. Dead ass, man. Stone. You know, we need more people like you, bro. Appreciate
each other
once again for coming through, and we are gonna pick this up on a later date, and we're gonna talk wild game and all that. And I hope it could be in person one of these days. That'd be beautiful.
we'll have to do it, man. I get back every once in a while to catch up with the family and travel to you for work. So yeah, we'll do this again. This was fun. I had no idea what to expect. I've never been on a podcast before.
It's just shooting the shit. This is probably like the most, like, I'm high right now, but like, this is probably like the most like sober I've been for the pod in a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The thing I like about podcasts is like, you can keep it as focused, you know, and like educational as you want, or you can go completely off the rails and talk.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, like, you know, we was going everywhere. I brought up my, you know, feminism joke, my equality premise that I'm working on. Yeah. Well, hey, bro. Fuck yeah. That's all I'm gonna really say. We'll stay in touch, man. As we have for fucking over 10 years now.
Yeah,
bro.
10+.
It was like 2006 or 2007 when I met you. So it was a conservation camp, people.
Yes.
By the way, it was like
Massachusetts Junior Conservation.
Yeah, camp. Yeah. This is where we met, you know.
And then our paths kept crossing, dude.
Yeah, through wrestling. Cause I don't know how we stayed. I think we were first MySpace friends or something.
Yeah, that was way, yeah, back in the day of MySpace. But yeah, Mass Junior Conservation Camp and then MySpace and then you were young Marines. I was Sea Cadets.
Yeah, yeah.
The whole JROTC thing was part of it. And then in high school, it was the wrestling. And we caught up with each other at a couple tournaments a year. I think we used to see each other at the Mass State Voc Tech.
Nah, we wasn't there. I wish we was there. If I was there, I would have been winning every year because we were co-op with Ashland. So we were D2. Fucking just regular ass D2. I wish.
Yeah.
I
like, so was it like the Lowell Holiday Tournament or something?
Nah, I saw you at Northbridge. And, what's funny is I won the Northbridge tournament, and now I live a town over from Northbridge. So
yeah.
Hey, y'all better not be playing no games in Northbridge. That's my
he
city.
Getting back. Okay. He coming back.
Yeah, fam. All right, dog. Any last words for the people if you want to like plug anything or whatever?
Plug my pluggables, right? Thanks for listening. I've never done this before. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter at Pierce Randall Ag AG. Pierce.
Yeah, I'll have all the links below.
So. Oh, the links below. Just look down there.
Yeah. Fuck yeah, bro. Boom, boom, show. We out, bro.
See ya.
Peace.